All right. It's Thanksgiving week. Are you supposed to preach about Thanksgiving before Thanksgiving or after it?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Matt.
That's a great answer.
It's a great answer. So I'm not preaching a traditional Thanksgiving message because Daryl missed it last week. He didn't. So you can let him know, Tammy. No, but Thanksgiving is something that, I mean, I think that's something that is relevant every time we walk into here and we open up the book, that Thanksgiving is something that is relevant. I think that's why we're here, isn't it? We're thankful for a God who interacts with us and has good things for us. So I have a long sermon today. I never know how long they are when I'm preparing. I don't know if they're long or short. It could be long. But we're going to jump right in. Jesus was teaching in Mark chapter 4. He was started talking in parables. And so, turn to Mark chapter 4. Let me find my notes here. I don't know that I have a big, like, resounding point. I might have one at the end, but there's nuggets everywhere throughout what we're going to talk about today. Like, there should be Holy Spirit side moments with each one of you as we go through the scripture today. About things that are in here, this is full. Like, I could teach 1,000 sermons on the material we're going to cover today, but there's one general point I'm trying to make. I'll bring it together in the end. But don't miss all the gold and pearls and diamonds that are laying on the ground all throughout everything that we touch on here today. And so as I was preparing, I was thinking, my gosh, I might, because I am a ball chaser. Like, we might get off track here. However, we're going to go to Mark chapter 4. Jesus is talking in parables, and a very, very famous parable is the parable of the sower, right? So, but I want to look at the whole body of work. Jesus comes out of town. He began to teach by the seaside, and there he was gathered unto him a great multitude, and they entered into a ship, and he sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land, and he taught them things by parables. And he said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass, he sowed, some fell along the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground, where it had much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, it scorched it, because it had no root, and it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on the ground, and did yet yield fruit, sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And he said to them, he that have ears to hear, let him hear. Okay? So he tells a story about somebody sowing ground, and seed, some fell here and some fell there, and he goes through, there's four different scenarios here where the seed fell. And when he gets done, he says, for those who have ears to hear, let them hear. Do you think anybody standing there had no ears? You think anybody was standing there like this? No ears? No ears? They all had ears, right? What ears? Different ears. Spiritual ears. Okay? We all know that he's talking about spiritual ears, spiritual eyes, because we've studied the scriptures, and we know that that's true. There's another layer of things going on. There's another parallel realm going on beside the parallel realm that we're living in. There's another one going on. And it's got a whole set of circumstances over there. It has eyes, it has ears, it has ways and things. And there's deeper meaning. And so the thing I love about the Bible is it's layered. I mean, it is layered. You can take the same thing here and you can just pull and pull and pull and pull life-giving value out of it, and it can mean something, it can say something totally different to some people in different ways, and that's the Holy Spirit's work, and that's the eyes and the ears that we're talking about. Do you have eyes and ears to hear? So, apparently, his disciples didn't have eyes and ears. Does anybody know why they didn't have eyes and ears? Holy Spirit hadn't come yet. So, he walked alone, even though he had his disciples, and I'm chasing a rabbit, even though he had his disciples right with him, walking the path, he would talk to them and they know he was alone. Even when he was here, living every moment with those disciples, he was spiritually alone. He was in a place where nobody could really understand what he was saying. Nobody understood. So he constantly was having to come back to them and revisit them and talk to them about what he was talking about. So here's what he says. So he says to them, who's that ears to ear? Let him hear. And his disciples are looking around going, I think everybody's got ears. And when he was alone with them, they asked him. He said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Is it unto us to know the mystery of the kingdom of God? This other parallel that's running side parallel to the world, it is his will and desire for us to know, to be able to see and to hear what's going on in the kingdom of God that's running parallel to the physical realm that we live in, actually the one that's in subjection to the one. One is a carnal, the one that we think is the most real, the one that we live in, the one that we feel, taste, hear, and smell, is actually in subjection to the other one. And it's more important to know what's going on in this one than it is this one, right? Okay, so it's unto you guys to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins shall be forgiven them. And other translation, it says, and I should heal them. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable, that how then will you know any of the parables? The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside, that when the word is sown. These are they by the wayside, where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. They heard it. They heard the word. They just heard it. They just heard about the Word of God. They just heard it. They didn't, that's it. And before anything could happen, they just heard it and they thought, I'm not buying into that. Satan comes and steals that word, steals that seed that just fell along the wayside. Okay? And these are likewise that are stone on stony ground, who when they heard the word, immediately they received it with gladness. Heard and received. They heard it and they received it. They heard it and they received it. So what is heard and receive? How do you receive? You believe. The only action you have in kingdom work is believing. It is you have to hear the word and then you have to receive the word, recognize the word, and then receive it and believe it. Okay? So the one in the stony ground, they heard it. They agreed to it, they received it, but the problem is when they heard the word, immediately they received it with gladness, and they had no root in themselves. So they endure for a time, and afterwards, when affliction and persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. We know people that you've seen celebrities have a Jesus moment. They get all excited, and they're all great, and then 3 years later, there's no sign of Jesus, and they're not talking about him anymore, and they had this hot spot because they had no root, because they were excited to hear about something, but they never really let that seed take root. And when the sun came and life happened, it scorched them, okay? That's those who fell on stony ground. Now let's get more personal. And these are which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world and deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. These are people who hear the word, but God is an accessory to the life, not the purpose for life, just an accessory to life. I have other things going on. I hear the word. I'm a Christian, but I'm mixing God in with all my thorns and weeds and stuff. It's just like he's a part of my portfolio, my life of my stuff, and he's an accessory. He's not the purpose. He just mixed in with all these things. Okay? Now these are they who are sown among thorns, such as hear the word and the cares of this world. The cares, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things, entering, they choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. It becomes unfruitful. There's no fruit. Okay? And these are which are sown on good ground, which hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. So, I'm going to talk about that for just a second, but my point is not to to drill in on these points. This is not my sermon about the sower sowing the word. However, these are the nuggets I was telling you about. The purpose of the word, is what? Produce. Multiply. So I take this as Jesus is out talking in parables. He's talking to a whole crowd. And he just, this is recorded in three gospels. It's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Okay? John doesn't have the parable of the sower. But I went and read every account, and some of them share different, because it talks about he shared many parables that day. And he was talking about, so they all wrote down parables in their accounts. And all of them have this one. This is one that leads off, and it's very pretty much carbon copy if you go read them. The only difference I found is that Matthew says 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold, and Mark and Luke say 30-fold, or no, Mark's the only one that says 30, 60, 100. The other ones lead with 100. Great, I like it. I don't have a big meaning for that. There probably is some. John was not there. John was here while this was being preached, right? So the rest of the parables all have this common thread. And I'll come back to what I just said, the question. I want you to ponder the question, is what is the word for? So a candle is brought not to put under a bushel, but under a bed. This is the next parable. It is to be set on a candlestick. For there is nothing hid that shall be manifest, neither anything kept secret, but shall come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Take heed what you hear. What measure you measure it, it shall be measured unto you. Unto you that hear shall be more given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, him shall be taken even which he hath. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow. He knoweth not how, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn of the ear. And when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And he said, whereunto we are likened unto the kingdom of God, or comparison shall we compare it like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than any seeds of the earth. And when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all the herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that all the fowls of the air may lodge under its shadow. So he's talking about the kingdom of God. He's talking about sowing. The word of God is what is being sown. And the purpose of the word of God is production. Okay? When you look at the common thread through here, it's a farming analogy. It's always planting. He's planting something in you that he wants to multiply. That if you're sitting here today and you're saying, I want to multiply, I got good news for you. The kingdom's trying to multiply you. Like, God's whole plan and purpose is the word of God coming, being heard and received, is for multiplication. That's what it is. That's what it's supposed to do. And it's supposed to multiply you. So, turn over to John. John, who doesn't have this account, I have this vision as I'm reading this and studying this, that John is there. How many of you watch The Chosen? You sit there and you watch John in the beginning, and he's pinning out, he's writing down like he's starting his gospel. Remember that scene? It was in the beginning of one of The Chosens, and he's thinking back, and he's flashing through all these times when he was with Jesus, and he starts to write. And he says that, I just picture him being there as Jesus was teaching all this, taking all this in and taking notes and thinking about all and pondering all the things that he's heard Jesus say. And so he starts in verse 1. What did the sower sow? The word. So, the word, right? The word of God. The word of God, right? Sower sowing the word of God, right? Right here? The word of God. Keep this in mind. In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God, and the word was God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Parable started with the parable of the sower. What was the second parable? You should not hide a light under the bushel, right? A light is supposed to be made in, out. So here, now think about John. He was the light. He was the Word of God. He is the seed that was being planted. It wasn't it was him. God was the sower, and he's sowing Jesus, okay? Today's sermon is about the question to every Sunday school class, which is what, Steph? Jesus. Okay? So the light shines into the darkness. So check this out. So in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same in the beginning was with God. All things were made by him. Without him was nothing made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined into the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which bringeth every man that cometh into the world, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and they knew him not. Remember that. He came unto us, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Remember that. But as many as received him, to him he gave them power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried, saying, He was he who I spoke, that cometh after me, who before me, is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness all we received, and grace for grace, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. John is thinking back, and you can argue this, and it's fine. I'm using it today as a stake, that John is saying that the Word is Jesus. Okay, we're gonna go somewhere, and I listened to something that rocked my world, and I'm gonna read you something, and then we're going to talk about it, and then I'm gonna close. Okay, turn to John. Chapter 5. The parable of, as the parables went down, the next parable after light was that with what measure you measure it, it'll be measured unto you. With what measure you hear. So in verse 16, in this, John says, and the fullness have all we received, and grace from grace. See, John measured his He measured his Jesus seed in fullness of grace. And John was the disciple whom he referred to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Okay? So John chapter 5, verse 30. I am going to be done early. This is Jesus talking. I can of my own self do nothing as I hear. I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that bear witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witness of me is true. You sent unto John, and he bore witness of the truth. But I received not testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved. He was a burning and shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me. And the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. You neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. What was sown? The word of God. Okay? The word was sown. And they heard it and they received it. Remember that? He says to the Pharisees, okay, of the times, the people that know the word better than anybody on the earth, they know the word, they know the scriptures. He says to them, you have neither heard his voice at any time or seen his shape. You who proclaim to be the voice of God in the earth, you have never heard his voice or seen his shape. And you have not his word abiding in you. For whom he has sent, him you believe not. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. You think, you search the scriptures, and you think you find in them eternal life. This is not Paul speaking. This is not John speaking. This is Jesus speaking. You search the scriptures because you think you're going to find life. I have searched the scriptures in pursuit of life. This is a book. And it has a purpose, a God-given purpose. Okay? This is the Word of God. But it's not the Word of God. There's a person that is the Word of God. And if you sow this into your life thinking that you're going to reap 30, 60, and 100 fold, you are mistaken. Because if this does not lead you to the real word, there will be no fruit. Because those guys knew this book better than anybody. And they never heard God's voice. I don't know about you, but that rocks my boat. That's standing on my toes. I'm a Bible guy. I'm using the Bible to prove my Bible point, okay? I'm not devaluing this book. The purpose of this book is what Jesus just said. In verse 39, you search the scriptures, for them you think you find eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. This word is to reveal the word, who is a person, who has flesh, who can eat a cheeseburger and walk through the wall, who they handled. And this book is a tool. It's not the thing. And they had made the Bible a god. They were worshiping the Bible, not who the Bible was telling them was standing right in front of them. I'm telling you, I'm guilty. I stand guilty in front of you. In order to go where the Spirit is leading this last generation, the Benjamin generation, for signs and wonders, we have to move off the page and into reality of what this book is saying, and we're going to have to know a person, not a page. Okay? The Word became flesh. Okay? When I read that in John, it jumped off the page. His Word wants to become flesh. The desire of God's Word is to become flesh. Like He's trying to get what's on this page to become flesh. What's spiritual, what's in the spiritual realm, what's in the kingdom of God is trying to become flesh. And it is that Jesus became flesh. He was the Word manifested and became flesh. But He wants His Word to become your flesh. He wants what's in here that I have trouble believing, that I have trouble seeing how it's possible. He wants what's unbelievable to become believable in your flesh. He wants His Word to become flesh. Okay? Turn to Luke. Luke chapter 24. verse 13. This is right after Jesus had died. He was resurrected that morning, but there was two guys walking back to Emmaus. We know this story. I remember when Scott taught on this, the road to Emmaus. And behold, two of them, when they went the same day to the village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs, and they talked together all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, and their eyes were beholden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what's the matter? What's going on? Why are you sad? I'm paraphrasing, of course, right? Given the King James version. And one of them, whose name was Cleopatra, whatever. See, I told you, King James version. Answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hey, where you been, dude? That's what they said. Don't you know what's happening here? Don't you know that there was a man named Jesus who they crucified? And they beat him, and they whipped him, and they nailed him to a cross. And then he died, and we thought he was the one that was going to come and save us all. And then to boot, 3 days later, they went to the tomb this morning, and they said he's gone. And we went there, and we verified he's gone, and they're talking Jesus. Like, did you just get here? What bus brought you here? Like, there's nobody that doesn't know what's going on here. Why are you asking this? This is what they're saying to Jesus, walking on the road to Emmaus. All right. And he said unto them, O fools. You think Jesus runs around calling people fools? 25. O fools is Hebrew for you just don't know. Let me tell you something you don't know, you fool. I pity the fool. Slow of heart, slow of believing. All the prophets have spoken about this. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, entered into his glory, and beginning in Moses and the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures that concerned himself. Okay? So he's told the Pharisees when he was alive, listen, the very thing that you know so much about is telling you about me. Now he's telling two people on the road to Emmaus, I'm going to expound the scriptures. And I'm going to tell you about which ones are talking about me, which is all of them, by the way. But he starts ripping through the Old Testament. Guess what scriptures he was talking about? Let me show you. Everybody see that right there? What's that say? New Testament. These weren't there. You know how much Jesus we find in the New Testament? A lot. You know where he was talking to them about? Here. Like, he was talking to them about where Jesus was in here, in the Old Testament. There was no New Testament. The Old Testament's full of Jesus, enough that he expounded the scriptures, and they were like, oh, yeah. And when they got done, their hearts burned within them, you remember? Oh, didn't our hearts burn within us as he expounded the scriptures? Concerning himself. Okay? I'm not done. Go to verse 42. I got to go back. I shut my Bible showing you the New Testament. Luke chapter 24, verse 42. So now they get back here. They tell the disciples, hey, we went to the tomb. And then we're pretty sure we talked to Jesus on the way back. So he shows up there with all the disciples that night. Okay. And he's in there, and he's talking to them, and he's eating with them, and they're telling jokes and everything, and he's showing them his cool new body and all the tricks he can do with it. And he can walk through the wall, or he can disappear, or he can levitate, and he can do all these cool stuff. And they're having a little get together there. And in verse 42, and they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb, and he took it and he ate it before them, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you. All things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. He opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written that thus it behooved Christ to suffer and rise again on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And all ye witness of all these things, and behold, I send a promise of my Father upon you, that you tarry in Jerusalem until the end comes, and he's talking about the Holy Spirit coming. But down here he says, he opened their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. So he said, Jesus used scriptures. Jesus used these scriptures to reveal himself to his disciples. And their eyes were open. The purpose of scripture, the purpose of God's word, all these things culminate back to one thing, Jesus. Jesus was that word that was sown. And to produce 30, 60, and 100-fold, we got to understand that the purpose of God's word is to produce and multiply kingdom business in this earth. And Jesus is not a book, he's a person. And the purpose of this book is to find that person and interact with that person and produce fruit with that person. That's it. Yeah. You go ahead.
Lord's been significantly dealing with me on purpose, and I wrote, and I don't take notes, but I started taking notes on 11-22-22. We can talk about 22 for a while, but we won't today. Three days later, I came across the prophecy, and I want to read this prophetic thing. I won't go into the details of it, other than I want to connect it to exactly what you were saying. People must know Jesus. To know him, they must see him. In 2 Corinthians 4, Christ is the light, and through salvation, God has put that light inside us so that those who are in the world and not in the light would actually see the light and know Jesus. The purpose of the ecclesia is really simple. People must see Jesus. People must know Jesus. In order to know Jesus, they must see Jesus. And the only way they're going to do that is through us.
And so I think that the Lord really reprimanded me about my love of this book. And I don't love this book less. And I didn't value this book less. But this book is a God to me. That I think that I'm getting life from it. And yet, the life giver's in it. And the blueprint to him is in it. And the way to find him is in it. But he's not a page, he's a person. It's huge. Stand up. Oh, Lord, help us. Lord, help us find you. Help us find our purpose. And Lord, help us use your word to experience you, because you are a experiential God who wants to interact with us and be real and meet us where we're at. But there is a parallel kingdom going on. Lord, help us to have eyes and ears. Teach us. Amen. Go in peace.